Okay, so welcome to our third session, third Sunday on wise speech today. And today we have two teachers, so you've seen me before, but some of you may not know Leslie Tremaine, who is a longtime ISC Sangha member and teacher. And so, and she's also, of course, one of the mentors. And so together we'll be doing the wise speech session today. And,
Kim,
yeah?
You're fading in and out of the
mic. I'm fading in and out of the mic. So I can try to position it as well as I can close to my mouth. Is that better? Okay. It doesn't bend really well. Partly it's that the shape is not perfect for my head. So I'm doing the best I can.
Maybe it's that our heads aren't shaped right for this.
Yeah, that's my sense. It's better for Leslie. So that's good because Leslie's going to be talking for most of the first half. So I think I'll just turn it over at this point and we'll get started. Thanks, Leslie.
Sure. So hello again, I'm Leslie. And I will just mention at the beginning, got some lung stuff going on and I may cough. Please know I'm not carrying germs. I was laughing with Kim. I almost wish that's what it was because then I'd know it was going to go away. But it's been part of the awareness of interdependence because it got exacerbated by the recent fires up north. And it's as if the lingering difficulties I'm having is my way to be very attuned to this is not a headline that's gone in the lives of people in that area. So every time I wheeze or cough a little bit, I remember that. So as you may remember, it's our practice to begin with a guided sit before we jump into the juicy content of our portion of the path today. So whatever you need to do to put your stuff aside and get yourself where you'd like to be for about a 15-minute guided sit, I invite you to do that. So the bell is our invitation to arrive in another sense than simply getting our bodies, our vehicles, whatever here. As we settle our bodies in, we arrive in our practice of present moment awareness. Finding an alignment of the body that allows us to be both at ease and alert and sustaining that same quality in our attention. And as we allow the body to settle in and seek to bring our attention into that same grounded state, it may be useful also for us to recall, in a personal and shared sense, what brings us here today? What is my intention? Not a long thought process, but just a touching in and a remembering. Of our intentions in being here. Another form of grounding and alignment. for this last few moments of our initial sit, I invite us all to make this area of our practice of the path somewhat more grounded in another way for ourselves, reflecting for a few moments, again, without a lot of storytelling, just calling to our attention a time or two when we've sensed the significant impact of speech in our lives and the lives of others. Reflecting on our experiences that give us some sense of the power and significance of speech as an area of study and practice on the path. And as we wrap up this sit, may our sharing and our time together today help to support all of us in the wiser use of speech as a part of our path of practice and our expression of wisdom and compassion. So greetings again, or if you arrive during our sit. I'm going to begin with a Dharma talk on an overview of this past segment of wise speech. And key aspects of wise speech, as well as its place within the larger context of the path. Let me ensure, first of all, in the interests of wise speech, that everyone can hear me okay?
Too well.
Too well. Too soften well. A little.
Please.
Okay. Kim can be the techie and take care of the volume. Meanwhile, I'll move it a little further away from my mouth.
No, you're not.
No? Okay.
How about that?
How is that now?
Still loud.
Okay. We're seeking the middle way here, aren't we?
Is that getting close to the middle way?
That's good.
Okay. I generally have a pretty soft voice, so this is great. I can allow it to stay soft today. All right. So we've reached a shift in the Eightfold Path. And I think as we begin to talk specifically about wise speech, it's important to put that in context in terms of that shift. We began with the first portion of the Eightfold Path, view and intention, which create a kind of a wisdom container for us. And now we really move into how we engage in our lives in very meaningful, everyday ways, and how that reflects our path. And of course, then that leads to the segment of the path that speaks specifically to effort, mindfulness, and concentration. These are all, of course, interconnected, but I think it's really significant that in his teachings, the Buddha placed this area we enter now of ethical living right at the heart of the path, with a sense that without engaging in practices in our everyday life that reflect that ethical and moral foundation, we're not able to embody the other aspects of the path. And that in truth, those other aspects of the path also help us to know what indeed are wise forms of living in the world. What is ethical for us? So this has become more and more important to me, to really appreciate that wise speech, wise action, and wise livelihood are right at the heart of the path. The teachings specifically on wise speech show up in several places in the suttas and get reflected with little slight variations in how they may be characterized. But in general, they involve four or five key aspects. The first of those is our speech true? And I'll speak more about that in a moment. The second, is our speech kind? And Kim will address that in more depth in her comments and her Dharma talk. And then, is our speech beneficial? And is it timely? So I'm going to address these elements of truth, benefit, and timeliness in a little greater depth. And then let Kim, as I said, talk about this element of kind speech. It should be noted that those are the positive aspects of these. They are also taught and presented in their opposites: dishonesty, harshness, slander, idle chatter, untimely speech. But I'm going to focus on the positive aspects that we nurture and cultivate. So, looking at this element of truth, it is part of the practice of wise speech to speak honestly and truthfully, to abstain from false speech. That's not as simple as lying or telling the truth, even though that in itself, of course, is never all that simple. But it's also to do with our intentions, what we believe to be true. All of us have had situations where we may not have known all of something, but we shared what we felt we did know and knew to be true and honest to our own inward state and truth. I think many of us can consider examples where it can be very, very tempting to speak dishonestly, and the harm that can be caused by false speech or dishonest speech. Kim will speak a little bit more about this, but we're in the midst of a climate where the whole notion of fake news or what is true becomes a part of a whole world of political turmoil now. And if I were a journalist, this practice of wise speech would be something that would be very important to me, because when we put out that kind of information, it creates reverberation in this larger web. And we better know what we're saying is true. I think it's also important in terms of truth, again, to consider our intentions. Sometimes we may have an intention to look really smart and say way too much about something. And yeah, what we're saying may be true, but it may be way beyond what's actually needed in terms of the answer of what's the weather like today. If we happen to have studied climatology, we don't need to go into a long discourse and talk about climate change and on and on and on in order to speak truthfully. If I'm just trying to figure out, do I need my sweater? Truth in that circumstance relates to the intention of the question and the functional impact of my answer. I think it also is important to look in that sense about what I speak is true. What am I seeking? Is there a truth, a trueness, an alignment to truth in what I'm seeking with my speech? And then I think that relates to the second element that I want to talk some about, which is one that to me has been an area of some challenge and also extremely important. And that is more related to this question of intentions. Is my speech beneficial? And what I mean by that is the opposite of this in many ways of presenting this practice of speech is am I engaging in idle chatter? Gossip. Am I talking because I like hearing myself talk? Am I talking because I feel awkward about silence? Am I talking because I don't want to hear what the other person has to say? So, is my speech of benefit? Is it useful? Or is it, in a sense, idle chatter or boosting of my own ego and my sense of being me? There's a wonderful acronym that, as I've worked with this as a personal issue for myself, I've come to use. It's WAIT. WAIT. The acronym for Why Am I Talking? And yeah, it's kind of a flip question we can ask ourselves. It's also a serious one. If, as for example, this morning, someone in the locker room at the gym is telling me a story, and I barely let her finish and leap in and try to top her story with another one of my own, I've got to stop and ask myself, why am I talking? In terms of that criterion of benefit, might it be wiser speech in that sense to say, wow, that's fascinating. Tell me more about what happened. Rather than my own comeback, that might have been more of a, you think that's good, let me tell you about my experience. And in a sense, try to draw the light back on me. Or in a conversation that has some depth and significance, if there are some moments of silence and we just get kind of awkward and antsy, and we step in to speak, when it might be of real value, wise speech in that sense might be the use of wise silence. So certainly this first criterion of truth, truthful speech, is very important. I've also found this element of benefit and idle chatter to be extremely relevant for me. I noticed that Roman and I were talking before the class began, and before I knew it, Proud Mama was busy finding occasions to tell stories about her sons and daughters-in-law. There was a little self-building in that. I think it was relevant, but it still had a little of that element, and it might have been good if I'd stopped and said, pause, why am I talking? The third of the elements that I'm going to speak of, truth, benefit, the third is timeliness. Oh my gosh, so many interpersonal examples of there may be something that it's important for me to say, but is this a good time to say it? Can people take in what I have to say now, at this moment? Perhaps, for example, someone is exhausted and a little bit on the edge of tears. Is it the time for me to tell them something that is going to be hard for them to absorb and take in? Or could it possibly wait until perhaps they've had a good night's sleep and are feeling a little steadier? Maybe I can't wait. But if I can, the timeliness of my speech may be very important. and the consideration of the state of heart and mind of the person who may be receiving what I'm saying and their ability to really take that in matters tremendously. We can probably all think of examples when we've just been perhaps dreading saying something, having some conversation, so we rushed into it no matter what. And it really wasn't a good time. I know I certainly have my examples, as well as ones where I think the timing of what I've said has been good enough that it enhanced the wisdom of what I said. Because perhaps I could tie it to something that was happening right in that moment. Maybe I had a difficult message and there was something positive that I could genuinely say at the same moment. Because I could say, I love how you just handled that. And it helps me to let you know even more that it's difficult for me when, and wrapped up in that way, maybe the timing of what I say and how I say it might make it easier to convey wise speech. I think you can hear both in the truth, in the beneficial quality, and even in this, particularly perhaps in this timeliness. Overall, our speaking with these elements of wise speech is tied in really key ways to our overall practice of mindfulness. To be able to pause and to use our mindfulness to inquire without creating awkward lags in our speaking, perhaps, is what I'm saying true to my knowledge? Is it beneficial? Is it timely? I could have used one of those little split-second pauses before I got jumping into that conversation in the locker room today. So our mindfulness lays the groundwork for considering these elements before we speak, and then learning from what the impact seems to be by continuing mindfully to absorb what seems to happen from our speech. And I think as well, our mindfulness, our clear awareness of our intentions. Again, using my small example, I think my intention in the locker room was, I just felt like getting my 2 cents worth in there to make a me. Mindfulness could help me at least feel that after I'd said it. So our mindfulness, I think, helps us in speaking truthfully, beneficially, and in a timely way. And our speaking in those ways also helps to reduce the overall agitation that diminishes our mindfulness. So there can get to be a really positive cycle between being mindful, promoting wise speech helping us to stay grounded in our mindfulness. And all of it helping us to tie how we are speaking to a larger sense of wisdom. So going back and considering our understanding of the elements of wise view, that view helps us to inform what's genuinely true, beneficial, and timely. And our intentions, that practice of right intention, can help us, for example, know, why am I talking? What is my intention in speaking now? Before we engage in a really significant conversation, may be very important to practice that element of the path. So our overall mindfulness practice, our cultivating wise intentions, I think also hanging out with people who can serve as good mentors, having some spiritual friends where we get to engage from time to time in a kind of interaction where maybe we can even reflect on these qualities of wise speech as a part of our interaction. I think it's also very important for us to be, in a kind sense, honest with ourselves about times when we've been unwise in some way in our speech. Now, I'm not going to make a big deal out of me grabbing the spotlight with the locker room stories or being proud mama in my conversation with Roman, but it's worth me reflecting that it might have been wiser this morning to just say, wow, tell me more about that. I'm really intrigued with what you're describing. Rather than, well, let me tell you what happened to me. And what is it as we reflect with that kind honesty that we know perhaps is any patterns in our unwise use of speech? For me, for example, I'll acknowledge I do use speech as a way of sometimes trying to look special, to kind of promote the Leslie brand, and learning to be quieter has been a key element of my practice. So what needs we're seeking to meet with our speech, especially when later we might feel some regret or see something unwise in our speech. This is an area where all of us have everyday opportunities for practice. And I really encourage all of us, particularly during this 4 or 5 weeks that we're focused in this, perhaps to take different elements and practice with them, particularly perhaps in small, everyday interactions where we decide to focus, for example, for a particular period of time on truth or benefit, refraining from idle chatter, or timeliness. And let our everyday interactions be times of practice in that regard. I also think a support for the practice of wise speech in terms of truth, benefit, and timeliness is obviously the area of wise listening. And that, for me, has been part of the benefit of a little bit of that why am I talking pause is I found the beauty of open questions to people and then listening. And then when people open their hearts further to me, wow, that's been really rich. And of course also I think it's helpful for us to celebrate times when we've spoken wisely. Maybe even share them with a spiritual buddy. But note what we've done that has been true, beneficial, and timely, so that we aren't just getting down on ourselves. As we come close here to wrapping up, I simply want to say that I think that for myself, there have been tremendous benefits to work in this area, particularly in terms of what I call living with no regrets. I had some times early in my life where speech was something that I feel some real regrets about. And there have been some times in more recent years, where either how I spoke or how I refrained from speaking has created a greater sense of calm and well-being, a sense of harmony, a confidence in our interactions with each other, a sense that we're creating a path of integrity for ourselves that really helps to ground our practice. Lots more we could say. I will close simply by indicating one of the real supports for my practice of wise speech has been several retreats and extended study with Gregory Kramer, whose primary book is this one, Insight Dialogue. And he has some fascinating guidelines for how it is we bring into our lives this shared practice as a reflection of our whole path of practice. He calls it the interpersonal path to freedom, the way we share our path through our words, which are so powerful. I'll have the book up here if at any point anybody wants to take a look at it. And as I said, a key element is certainly kindness, and Kim will speak about that. So Kim, can we switch now?
Yeah, so we can, no, we move now
to the breakout sessions.
Breakout sessions. So
yeah, let me
people
let you
know how many to
form. Oh, I was going to say, okay, I was going to let you organize.
Oh, I could if you want.
Yeah, just to get a different voice in here.
Okay. I guess it goes this way. Okay. So, I don't know exactly how many we have, but let's try to make groups of three. Let's try to make groups of three, and when you get into those, we'll give you the questions. Okay.
Let me offer up a question, an area of reflection that you all can each speak to. And let me suggest that not only is this a chance to work with the content of what you're saying, but the process is actually an opportunity to practice wise listening and wise speech. So what I would ask you to reflect on and share as each person speaks is an attribute among the three I spoke of: truth, benefit, timeliness, an attribute that you particularly struggle with or find difficult. So where have been your struggles in these three areas of wise speech? And what have you learned in the process? And we've
that's
got...
That's probably good to start with.
Yeah. We've got 25 minutes.
That's total. So each person could speak. Do you want to have people speak individually?
Yeah. Okay, so I want to let you, again, I think they're kind of norms.
Like a couple minutes. Okay, how about if each person, whoever you choose to start, speaks for about 2 minutes, and the others practice wise listening. So that means being aware of your body and any reactions that you have, but you don't need to come in and speak, and just hearing that. And then we'll ring the bell to switch to the next person so that it's clear, so you don't have to keep track of the time yourself. And if for some reason you finish speaking before the 2 minutes, because we don't need to do idle chatter and just engage all the way up until the end of 2 minutes, it's fine if there's some silence. You can just sit together. And who knows, maybe in that last 30 seconds of silence, one more little thing will bubble up to say or not. But this is a time when we're okay with speech and silence flowing as they do, because we're all practicing together. Does that make sense? Okay, so first person can go ahead. Okay, I think think Leslie has a second question also.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of balance out that first question with asking you if you can recall a time when your speech was wise, when it was truthful, beneficial, and timely, and in a sense kind of celebrate and acknowledge that time and your sharing with others. But it's also a practice of knowing what truly is wise speech, to be able to acknowledge those times when we have been wise in our speech. So I'll let Kim be our keeper, but describe your use of wise speech in that regard.
So why don't people just do the same order as before and have each person speak for 2 minutes?
So I'd like to leave just a few moments before our break, and we will be getting one. If the body is letting you know it's time for that, we will in about 5 minutes, but just a few minutes to leave a space if there's anything you would like to share that arose during your small group wise speech that might be beneficial as well as true and timely. We'd love to hear.
Now's the time.
Yeah, this is the time. Yes.
I thought it was interesting, all of us touched on this at some point about the wise speech, an important part of this listening.
Mm.
Listening to yourself, listening to
other person.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, saying that it's such an wise listening, such an important part of wise speech, and very much a part of what Kramer describes in his practices of insight dialogue. And I would say, just in response to that, that on retreat with Kramer, in practicing insight dialogue while listening, I have gone into deep states of concentration. Interesting thing to consider. Yeah. Others?
Yeah, one that came up during the talk, and I think I spoke to it in our small group as well, is this business of timing and beneficial can really go hand in hand, because I find that often, if I decide I don't actually need to say it right now, or if I have really like a heat of passion, of anger, or irritation, or something that I know I probably shouldn't say anything. And what I find often is, if not always, is if I wait long enough, I find that the thing doesn't even need to be said, right? So that timing gives me that space then to find the thing that's like, oh, well, I don't even need to say it now. So it's a
beautiful
double gift.
Yeah. Beautiful. What a reminder. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
A partner shared something that I thought was really interesting, and that is finding the nuanced balance between what might be talking ill of someone else or gossip versus just looking to see someone else's shared experience and how that sort of comes back to your intention.
Oh.
And there's certain situations where maybe you really do want to debrief and talk out what your experience was like, but that can be subtly different than just looking for a chance to vent or speak ill.
Yes. Yes. And you called it, I think, nuanced balance. I love that expression. And again, where our overall mindfulness helps us better to be able perhaps to take in what will help to make that decision, and our wise intention and our ability to be honest and truthful with ourselves. I just want to trash the person is real different than I'm suffering and it's going to be hard for me to move forward, and this is a person I might be able to engage with to deal skillfully with that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll add one further comment to that. which is that sometimes a guideline for wise speech can include, would you say what you're saying if that person were there? And that's the one that we should aim for, because there are ways to speak critically of someone that we would be okay saying even if they were there. Not always, right? Some of what we say we wouldn't say if they were there. And it's very important to consider. If you're saying something that that person could not be there for, why are you saying that? You know, is it really bringing any benefit? Because anger is, when anger is expressed, it feeds anger, actually. And all you're doing is creating seeds of more anger to come in the future. Sure, it feels good in that moment, but maybe not. And so, notwithstanding relationships with therapists and other things where there might be a safe space for that. But it's long been shown that things like primal scream therapy, those don't work. They only create more. So I just offer that as a guideline. Would you say that if the person were there? Yeah.
Can you hone that a little bit in terms of, I can think of two situations where I'm wondering what you would say. I mean, one would be if you're talking about a kid, and so you wouldn't say it, like you're talking to your partner about your kid. You're not trashing the kid, but you're just, you know. So it's like, it's kind of not appropriate. No, it isn't something that you would say, but not because it's cruel or mean or anything like that, but just because it kind of just feels like
sure.
It's not right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is actually where somebody is hurt in some way, somebody sort of like they're injured in some way, and you feel like it would be, it's maybe not so from anger, it's more from your hurt about how they're treating you, but you wouldn't say it in their presence because it just doesn't seem like it, like you need, well, I don't want to bias the answer too much, but or where I'm going, but just it's, you know, where it's an adult, but it's somebody who's compromised in some way. I mean, there's similar things about those two other people, because in both cases, at least to me, it feels like you're not fully competent, but I don't mean that in a rude way.
Yeah, people do have different capacities at different times. Do you want to speak to this, Leslie?
I just was going to say, it's again, I think, where intention comes back. So crucially, and I have used the particular practice Kim is describing at great length in my life, and there have been times when I've decided there was a reason to speak something that I would not speak to that person there, but I was in the process of cooking it to get to the point to be able to do that. And so I saw it in this larger intention and process that I was discerning and developing how I could speak to the kid, how I could speak to the person who lacked certain capacities. And it's been hugely important to me. I would just say, slightly humorously, and then it's our break time, I've had several jobs that were kind of big deal public view type jobs, and I found it tremendously helpful to ask myself, would I be comfortable with what I'm having this conversation about appear on the front page of the newspaper?
With your name.
Yeah. Because I lived in a fishbowl, and it was actually very helpful for this practice. Because I didn't do a lot of trash talking when I never knew who was going to perhaps leak to the press. Okay, so we have time for a 10-minute break now before the second Dharma talk. So,
thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.